Hello, everybody. It's Sam from Financial Samurai, and I hope everybody had a wonderful July 4th week. Support for this podcast and the following message comes from Wonder Capital, the easiest way to invest in large-scale solar energy projects across the U.S. And with Wonder, you can help finance renewable energy projects while earning up to 7.5% annually. To get started, visit wondercapital.com/samurai, S-A-M-U-R-A-I. Now, in this podcast, I want to talk about how high net worth and ultra high net individuals invest. We're going to look at their asset allocation breakdown. We know from a previous podcast that the wealthier one gets, the larger the business component in the individual's net worth composition. Once you hit about $100 million in net worth, the business component reaches roughly 50% of net worth. Although most of us will never get this wealthy, it's a good idea to start a business if you hope to get this wealthy one day. But what about zeroing in on the public investment portion of a high net worth investor's wealth? A high net worth investor is defined as someone with $3 million or more in investable assets, not including the value of their primary residence, and a ultra high net worth investor has $30 million or more of investable assets. So what are some insights we can gather from their asset allocation that may be more relevant to readers here and listeners here on Financial Samurai? After all, everyone can invest in stocks and bonds and alternatives, but not everyone has the capability or the drive to build a business. So I was really, really excited to stumble across this interesting wealth survey by U.S. Trust, the private wealth management arm of Bank of America. They did a high net worth investor survey consisting of 892 high net worth and ultra high net worth adults across the United States. And there's so much juicy information in this survey that I recommend all of you guys take a more detailed look. What I'm most interested in is the asset allocation for these folks. Not so much, you know, what makes them happy in terms of how much money they have and what drives them and so forth, but what is their asset allocation? I personally, in the first half of 2018, brought my asset allocation down to about 55% stocks, 45% bonds after the correction of 10%, which really kind of wigged me out a little bit. I was at about 70%, 30% stocks and bonds, and I felt that was too much. And so I brought it down to be a little bit more conservative. Also, it was because I was ahead. I was up about almost 5% for the year when the S&P 500 was only up 1.5%. So I was like, you know what? Let's just be a little bit more conservative. But for the longest time, I was wondering, well, is this a little too conservative? Come on, I'm only 41 years old. 55% stock allocation, that seems really, really conservative. But to my surprise, this survey shows that those respondents with over $3 million in investable assets have an asset allocation as follows. 55% stocks, 21% bonds, 15% cash, 6% alternatives, and 4% other. I don't know what other is. But a 55% stock allocation, in my mind, is quite conservative. And I thought I was the conservative one, but lo and behold, 890 plus high net worth and ultra high net worth individuals have an average allocation stocks of about 55%. But in reality, I'm a little bit more aggressive than the high net worth investors because I only carry about a 6% cash balance at the moment. It fluctuates between 2 to 5% really on average. And I have 10% of my investable assets in alternatives and have closer to 34% of my assets in bonds after the 10-year bond yield broke 3%. In my first half 2018 review, I was just breaking it down between stocks and bonds. But since this review breaks it down between cash, alternatives, and so forth, overall, I guess I'm a little bit more aggressive. So it's interesting. Interesting that 55% is the average stock allocation. But what's more interesting is how the generations responded. So the survey was broken out between millennials, ages 21 to 37, Gen X, ages 38 to 53, baby boomers, ages 54 to 72, and the silent generation, ages 73 plus. And in the survey and in the post, you can see this fantastic year-over-year chart between 2017 and 2018, highlighting how each generation and how men and women change their asset allocation from year to year. And I want to highlight some key points from this chart, if you can't see it. Men are only slightly more aggressive than women with their stock allocation. So for 2018, men have a 57% allocation, whereas women have a 53% allocation, which is unchanged from the year ago. Men went from 51% to 57% 2017 to 2018. And I thought that was interesting because you always think, oh, men are much more aggressive when they're investing and so forth, but the data doesn't really show it. Another interesting point, every age group except the boomers increased their stock allocation in 2018, which could be a contrarian indicator. So for example, millennials went from 25% to 46% stock allocation. Gen X went from 45% to 54% stock allocation. Boomers stayed the same at 56%, while the silent generation increased their allocation from 60% to 61%. Another interesting point, millennials and Gen X were the most aggressive in increasing their stock allocation, as I just said, and decreasing their cash allocation. Millennials still, I think, have way too much cash. It's at 21%. 21%, and they're so young. You know, they're the youngest generation, yet they don't seem to be very aggressive at all, right? So 2018, the millennials had 46% allocation in stocks, whereas the silent generation had 61%. You would think millennials, wealthy millennials, would be just much more aggressive since they have much more time. And their cash, in 2017, they had 47% of their net worth in cash. That's crazy. But now they only have 21%, which is better, but that's still a lot. So the final point that really surprises me is that the silent generation, ages over 73, have 61% of their investable assets in stocks. The silent generation, 61%, the highest allocation out of all the generations. I think this is really insightful because it seems that their experience has taught them that staying the course long-term is the way to go despite the stock market being at close to record highs today. They've been through it all. They've been through multiple recessions, multiple huge downturns, and yet they still have such a high allocation. And to them, long-term investing has been proven correct since we're at near all-time highs. It would be one thing if the 73-plus-year-olds represented the average 73-plus-year-old American with less than $200,000 in retirement savings. You know, having a more aggressive stock allocation might be more necessary to generate higher returns. But these are high-net-worth individuals with at least $3 million in investable assets, so they're not hurting for money. And also, we're not talking about, you know, 70%. To 100% aggressive allocation in stocks that most financial advisors recommend for younger folks, we're talking about a more classic 60-40 asset allocation, which has performed quite well over time. So if you look at a portfolio mix since 1926 of 60% stocks and 40% bonds, the average annual return was 8.7%. So this is from 1926 to 2016. The best year was in 1933, up 36.7%, and the worst year was in 1931, down 27%. And there were 21 years out of the 91 years that was a loss. And we would say a 60-40 portfolio is a balanced portfolio. I personally would be happy to accept an average return of 8.7% for the rest of my life. That would mean my investments would double every 8.3 years. However, I have my doubts at this point in the cycle we'll be returning 8.7% a year for the next 10 years. Don't forget, there was an entire lost decade, more than a lost decade in stocks after the dot-com bubble burst in 2000. It took longer than, I think, 12 years, maybe 13 years, just to get back to even in the NASDAQ. The other interesting thing to know about the silent generation is that this survey consists of high net worth and ultra high net worth individuals, right? So one has to assume that more of the ultra high net worth individuals, those with more than $30 million in investable assets, make up the silent generation since they've had more time to accumulate assets. So if you think about it, they have so much money. So they're like, well, maybe they're thinking, even if I lose 50%, I'll still have a lot more money. So I'm thinking to myself, there must be a net worth level where you're thinking, I have so much money, it really doesn't matter anymore. I know that level is not 5 million. I know that level is not really 10 million. So I guess maybe that level has to be $20 or $30 million. Because at $10 million, it's a really nice net worth where you can live risk-free off a 2.5% yield, and, you know, $250,000 a year is generally pretty good for most people. But if you lose like half of that, then you're kind of not really happy at all. But at $20 million, $30 million, I think just money doesn't really matter anymore at this level. Further, if you're over 73 years old, you're probably not going to be able to spend all your $30+ million before you die. Hence, perhaps the silent generation is taking a very casual attitude towards money because it realizes life is way more meaningful than money since they've had so much of it for so long. At their stage in life, it may be more about family, friends, and leaving a legacy. And that's exactly what the data and the survey shows. So the number one conclusion I have from this survey is that one should probably have a stock allocation of between 51% to 100% throughout their entire lives, depending on your age and your financial goals. History has shown that stocks have outperformed bonds and have outperformed real estate unlevered since the beginning of time. Therefore, you might as well go with what has worked in the past and just keep on going until it stops working. So I'm personally happy with my 55% weighting in stocks at this point in the cycle. It's above the 50% minimum recommendation, and I'm just looking for a 5 to 6% annual return with low volatility so I can sleep well at night, focus on taking care of the family, and doing this podcast late at night. So you guys have to figure out what you're comfortable with, what are your goals, so that you can sleep well at night and continue to live the life that you want. I just want to thank again Wonder Capital for supporting this podcast. It's the easiest way to invest in large-scale solar energy projects across the United States. You can earn up to a 7.5% return annually investing in solar energy, and you can visit wondercapital.com/samurai, S-A-M-U-R-A-I. So I'd love to know from all of you whether you're surprised with the asset allocation in this high net worth survey, because I'm really surprised that millennial multimillionaires have such a low asset allocation towards stocks and that the silent generation has such a high asset allocation towards stocks. Thanks so much, everyone, and let me know if you have any questions.